You know, we're all, I believe that all of us in this auditorium this morning, I believe that every one of us in the audience, that we want the church to grow. I believe that with all my heart. From the youngest to the oldest. And I hope and pray that it is your heart's desire that the church at Palm Beach Lakes just grows and grows and keeps growing. Just a moment ago, Dan nearly scared me to death. I thought this is a dangerous building to be in if a woman took that much money away. But I am in the arms of the Lord and I am safe and I know I am among those that want the church to grow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6, Paul would say, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. I believe that. And I believe verse 5 that was read in our hearing this morning, I believe that we're all the same. We're all servants by which others believe. He says ministered, the Greek word diakonos. And it means servants by which others believe. And if we're all servants and we are serving in God's kingdom, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that we have a desire that the church grow. And you can do your head like this or you can say amen and warm up feelings either way. But in order for the church to grow, I believe that every single Christian in this audience must have and then develop certain kind of spirits in their life. I do not believe that the church will grow just simply because we preachers stand up and preach and we teachers teach. I believe that you and I must have within us that certain kind of spirits. And I believe that we must not only possess them, but I believe that you and I must also work on developing these. And it may be if we're young, we work in one area developing them. And if we are older, that we will realize that our developing is still not over. That until the day we leave this earth, that we that are older in age, and maybe the aged even, that they must keep on developing those spirits. Number one, I believe that we must have a joyful spirit. We must be full of joy. And this morning as I came in the building, I could hardly get to David to put my lessons on the PowerPoint. And I could hardly get to him because there were those big smiles and all those welcome, Brother Robert, welcome. And I could see the joy that you have in your heart. We've got to have that and we've got to maintain that on a daily basis. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4, that old aged missionary would write to this mission church that would remind me of Palm Beach Lakes. And he would say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Those are words. But we must take those words out of the Bible and we must bury them deep in our heart. We must put them in our mind and we must bury them deep in our heart and keep them so that we may be full of joy. We need to have that spirit. How do we know that the person that we smile to the Sunday morning, and if they are a visitor and you recognize them as a visitor, to welcome them and to encourage them to come back. You know, we're blessed today here at Palm Beach Lakes. Wow. Can you say wow? Yeah, we're really blessed. It is our wow for today because Ada's here with us right on the front bench. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that he has graced our lives? And I know you love this young man. And I know that he is coming and learning at the feet of Jesus Christ as he hears the Word of God. In Acts chapter 4, and I still learn, although It is on the PowerPoint. I still love turning my Bible. If your hands are not broken, you can turn it too. Or you can flip it on your iPad or whatever. But in Acts chapter 5, in Acts chapter 5, I love verse 41. Acts 5 and verse 41, I love that. But I really love verse 42. You know, we teachers and preachers of the Word of God, we're like everybody else. We like to write books. We love writing books. The greatest book is our own lives, really. But I love verse 41. It is about world evangelism in a nutshell. We could write until the end of the world. But here it is. Look at verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they didn't stop teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. You know, wherever we go and whatever we do, we need to be sharing Jesus with others. You know, I had a classmate in high school. That classmate means a lot to me. That classmate encouraged me, invited me to come and visit the Church of Christ. It changed my entire life. And because of that, I am where I am today. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we need to be sharing Jesus Christ with others. But as we go and do that, or as we are going, I love Mark 16 and 15. The original language, as you are going, as you're going, make a proclamation of that good news of Jesus Christ. But here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. You know what? Doesn't shock me. It does not shock me that they were out sharing the good news of the resurrected Jesus with others because they were happy. And they were happy because of what Jesus had done for them. And when you and I are happy, I thought Dan was going to get so happy yesterday, picked me up, carried me out to lunch. And I mean, he was getting happy all over the place. He wasn't showing off. I've known Dan 50 years. That's just Dan. And he's already influencing this lady that's waiting on us. Well, she's a servant, isn't she? What a servant of the Lord she could be. And so Dan introduced the church to her on why we were there eating in our relationship. Isn't it easy to do that? Wherever we, better not ask me what I'm doing if I'm in a country. That's my go signal. What are you doing here? Well, that's an opportunity to teach others about Jesus Christ and explain to them what I am doing in life. And so you and I, if we want the church to grow, we've got to have a spirit of joy, a spirit of joy. Number two, we've got to have a spirit of excitement. Now, don't think everybody's got to be Dan Jenkins in character. Aren't we glad for that, Judy? But I'm not. And everybody don't have to be Robert Martin, okay? I love doing unusual things. You don't know how weird I am. I came back in from the Pacific a few weeks ago, and I said to myself, what am I going to do to make Mary feel that she's so blessed to be married to me? Isn't that good? I just love it all the time. And so I said, and I didn't tell her now because I wanted to surprise her. And I wanted to wake her up in the middle of the night. We have a clock on both of our sides of the bed because as we are getting older, our hearing is not so good. We want to make sure we hear the clock. Okay. So I set my clock to alarm at 2 a.m. in the morning. You know, we need excitement, don't we? In the church, in the marriage, in the home. Our children need to see it. Between mother and father. I grew up with a father and mother that they had excitement in their marriage life and in the home. And I grew up with that. What I did was set my clock. 2 a.m. in the morning. And it went off and Mary said she rose up in the bed. And she said, who's in the room with us, Robert? And it was Eli Gold calling a touchdown for the Crimson Tide. And he was excited. And I said, I just wanted to wake you up and tell you how excited I am to be married to you. She said, you're crazy. Go back, Sally. You know, you and I need to make sure that we always maintain that excitement. Am I right? I mean, just think about it. In the home, in the marriage. Well, it ought to be in the church. And if it's in the church, it's going to be in the home and in the marriage. I'm thinking about Romans 12 and verse 11. I quote this sometimes in Fiji, and I love it. I love what Paul says here. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Where are all you going to be tonight? Where are all of you going to be tonight? Only half of you coming back? Well, you know what? We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Am I right? Don't you want to be with the one you love the most? Why, I tell you what I do. I just can't wait to get home. Every time I get on that plane and head back home, if Mary's not with me, I want to get back to her because I love her. And I want to love her to pieces. Not to death. I don't want to die on me. But I want to love her to pieces. You know, if we love the church, this building's going to be as full tonight as it is this morning. Now, I understand that there are those that are aged may not can drive at night. I understand that. And I understand that there are some that are sick and afflicted that does not allow them to come like they want to be here. They want to be here. And if they were not sick and afflicted, what about us? Where are we going to be tonight? Tell you where I'm going to be at Stuart tonight. I'll be speaking there because I've got to be there. But I made that decision 55 years ago. I made that decision. I don't have to make it every week. And I got in the habit of doing it. And if I do anything else, the whole thing goes wrong. You know, we ought to be fervent in spirit. We ought to have such a burning desire that we will participate every time that we humanly possibly can. You know, I read the book of Acts a lot. I read it every year. I'm going to read the whole Bible through, if possible, every year. But I'm going to read certain books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because I want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. And I read those four accounts of the gospel every year. And I read the book of Acts every year because I don't want to lose that fervor of spirit in evangelism. But you know, in Acts chapter 8, and in verse number 4, now, sometimes we like to play on this passage of Scripture too much. We like to think they ran away because they were being persecuted to death. Now, wait a minute. I don't believe that in a minute. Well, they ran for their lives. I grant you that. But look at Acts 8 and 4. Therefore, those that were scattered, they were running so hard, they didn't stop till they got far away. Now, that's not what he said. Those that were scattered went everywhere, making a proclamation of the gospel. Was it because they were scared to death? No. It was not because they were scared to death. They were willing to die for Jesus. They were willing to give their life for Jesus. But in their being persecuted and in their leaving that area, they just looked for another area to evangelize. You know, I love going into countries. And there's always unusual things that happen. Recently, when I went through immigration and customs, I got through the immigration, went on through customs, and the lady that was going to wait on me and open my luggage and dump everything out that I had so stacked everything perfectly in place, as if it don't get thrown around anyway when they're loading the luggage. I knew she gonna take everything out. I don't like them doing that. It bothers me. But I let them because I'm not going to get stopped. But then I saw that she was reading a newspaper like this. But I said, wait a minute. News can't be that interesting. What in the world? She must be reading, and I know Islanders. So I knew she had something in the newspaper. I said, ma'am, do you mind if I ask you what you're reading? It was like she didn't want to even check my luggage. And she said, "No, I don't mind telling you what I'm reading. I'm reading a Bible tract." And I said, "That's wonderful." And I said, "May I see it?" And she showed it to me. And then she said, "You know, if I'm a European fellow, and she supposes that tract's written by a European fellow, that I may know that fellow." And she said, "Do you know this man, Robert Martin, that wrote this tract on Have You Ever Heard of the Church of Christ?" I said, I really did like that, like an islander. And I said, "I think I know him." I said, "Ma'am, are you going to the Church of Christ?" She said, "Yes, and I've been baptized because of this tract." And I said, "Well, I'm Robert Martin." And she liked to pass out on the floor. I thought I was going to have to pick her up. She said, "Oh, Brother Robert, go ahead." Well, she didn't say Robert. She spoke to me in their own language. You know, you and I need to have a bit of excitement about our work for the Lord. And we ought not to be thinking so much about other things. And then, thirdly, you and I must have a very positive spirit. You know, if you and I have a positive spirit, we will get much more done for the Lord. Am I right? If you and I have a positive spirit, you know, you get in a business meeting sometimes, and somebody will say, "Well, it can't be done. We tried that 40 times before. Well, this may be the time it'll work. Maybe it'll take the 41st time." Always new generations coming up. Always. You know, I love Numbers chapter 13. I love verse number 1. In Numbers 13 and verse number 1, before Moses sends out the spies, God has already said, "I'm going to give you the land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to give you Canaan. But I want you to send out the spies." He's testing them. You know, we get tested a lot, don't we, in life. We really get tested alive a lot. And so he sends out those 12 spies. 10 of them came back and they lied. They lied through their teeth. They said, "The land swallows up people." And they said, "Not only that, but there are giants there and we're like grasshoppers. We can't do it. We can't go up and take it." And then, I love this man. I love Caleb. You know the reason I love him? When he's 82 years old and they reach the Canaan land finally, Joshua and Caleb of that generation, he doesn't say to Joshua, "Give me this low land. I'm aged now. And to give me a flat land, I don't have climate." You know what he said? "Give me that mountain." He's got the right kind of spirit, doesn't he? Am I right? You know, sometimes we need to have that kind of spirit. I love Caleb. And Caleb stood up. He quietened the people. And he says, "We're well able to take this land." We need to have that kind of positive spirit. We need to have it. I love Philippians 4:13. Our beloved Steve Martin, it was one of his favorite passages. And before he left this world, I said, "Steve, what about Philippians 4:13? "Never forget it, Dad. Always believe it." Do you believe it? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Do you believe that? Do you really know it? Do you really have that spirit in your heart? Are you like Caleb? Are you like Caleb? Don't ask for what is easy, but rather ask for that which is a challenge in life and will challenge you to develop your skills even in a better way. And then number 4, we need to have a spirit of loyalty. Be turning, if you will, in your Bible or on your iPad, be putting it forward to this scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 22. I like to hear those pages, so I'm not totally deaf yet. Okay. Matthew 25 And verse 22 and 23. You know, I don't want to be that one talent man, do you? I really don't like him, and I don't want to be like him. Because he didn't use what God had given him. Am I right? He didn't use it. He did not use that which God gave him. We need to use it or we'll lose it. You've heard that, but it's really true. You believe me. You and I need to use what God has given us. But that two-talent man, he used it. Now look at verse 23. His Lord said to him, you know, the other day I was up early morning before, like I am every day, and I was going to be going to the Bible study worship that morning. You wouldn't expect anything else of me, would you? Whether it be morning or evening or Wednesday evening. And so I was going and I woke up and I was praying like I normally do when I wake up before I ever leave the bed. And I laid there and I prayed, well, Robert, what do you really want to hear Jesus say? What do you want to really hear the Father say on the day of judgment? And here's what I thought. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Can you think of anything greater to hear than that? We know that we can never be perfect. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I can never make it to heaven someday. No matter how good, no matter how great we are, we must walk in the light as He's in the light and have fellowship one with another. What do you want to hear that day? Well, you've got to live it. You have got to have that loyalty to spirit. You know, when Mary and I were young, and I didn't start this when I got to be older, okay, brethren? When we were very young and I was a freshman at Georgia Tech and we got married, and one day we were going home from church and I pulled over that little Corvair Spider. Man, Detroit metal. Pulled that thing over. And I said, Mary, I need to tell you something. I love someone else more than you. Man. She about sunk into the floor of that Corvair. And she looked at me and she said, who is she? And I looked at her. And I wanted to embrace her and she pulled away. And I said, are you listening? Don't worry about the clock. Are you listening? And I said, it's Jesus. And so from that time, 55 years ago to today, she continually asked me, who do you love more than me? And I always tell her, you know, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father cannot know how much you love Him if you don't give of your time and talent and life most of all to Him. Where are you going to be tonight? Where are you going to be tonight any better than how can you show your loyalty to the Lord? And then we must have a spirit of love. A spirit of love. If you have your Bibles, look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse number 37, and Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind. Have you ever thought, brethren, why this is the first, number one, and the greatest commandment? I learned it at a young age. 55 years ago, I came up out of the watery grave of baptism. And one of the elders at Mary and my home congregation in Haleyville, Alabama, had come down the steps of the baptistry. When I came up out of the watery grave, he was right in my face. And I said, what is going to happen now? I don't know what's going to happen. He said, Robert Martin, do you want to go to heaven and be with Jesus when life is over? And I'm thinking, I've just been baptized. I just want to get out of this water. and I'm scared to death. Well, you'd have been scared too. He's an elder. Don't be afraid of your elders. Just love them to pieces. Number two, his name was Stonewall Turner. The word Stonewall was a nickname. Do I need to tell you about his character if you know history? And when he said that to me, I was scared to death. I want to ask you a question. Do you really love Jesus with all your being? Where are you going to be tonight? What are you going to do for him? Think about all the labels that you put on that. You own heart to heart and house to house. House to house, heart to heart. You own it. If you are helping label, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing for this church? What are you doing for the church that Jesus built? Do you really love him with all of your being? I love it when Marianne says to me, do you still love that other person more than me? I still love that other person more than her. How much do you love Jesus? And are you showing it by giving your life and heart and mind and soul to him? Giving him your talent, giving him your life, giving him your time. Where are you going to be tonight? You going to be half this many here tonight? If it is, it's the sickest church I've ever seen, physically. Where are you going to be tonight? What are you going to do with Jesus while together we stand and sing?